Hello, my name is Marcy Stern. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Initiative. Today, we will be studying Sefer Chagai, Perek Aleph. As we near the ending of learning the 12 books of Treyasar, we begin today with Sefer Chagai, one of the last three recorded Sifrei Nevi'im, books of prophecy in Tanakh. These Sfarim of Chagai, Sraya, Malachi are different than all the previous books of prophecy that you've learned until now in Nach Yomi. Those Sfarim deal with the times leading up to and including the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash by the Babylonians. By the time we meet Chagai, and subsequently Sraya and Malachi, history has moved on to a new era that was potentially glorious. Bnei Israel have spent 70 years in what is called Galut Bavel, the Babylonian exile, just as Yirmiyahu had prophesied before the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, the first temple. They have been given permission to return to Eretz Yisrael by Koresh, the Persian king, whose empire has conquered the Babylonians. This return to Eretz Yisrael, led by Zerubbabel and Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, Yehoshua the High Priest, is famously referred to as Shivat Zion, the return to Zion. The story of Purim has already taken place in Shushan, Persia. And now Darius, Daryavash HaSheni, the king of Persia, is giving the Jews permission to rebuild the second temple in Yerushalayim. These events are documented in the books of Daniel, Esther, Ezra, and Divrei HaYamim, which are part of the Ksuvim that you will be learning soon. It is important to point out that basically Nevuah, prophecy, ceased after the period of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, as Yirmiyahu said in Eicha Perek Bet, Gam Nevi'eha lo matzu chazon. Also her prophets could not find their prophecy. It is now at this point in history that we meet Chagai, the first Navi since the Churban Bayit Rishon, the destruction of the first temple, when Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel lived, who once again will relay Hashem's messages via prophecy to the Jewish people, this time in the era of not the first Beit HaMikdash, the first temple, but in the era of the second. For this reason, it is worth our while as we study not only Chagai, but also Sraya and Malachi, to note the many, many times the word Dvar Hashem, the word of Hashem, Ne'um Hashem, the speech of Hashem, Amar Hashem, so says Hashem, are repeated. In Chagai alone, the two short prakim of the book repeat these words 26 times. The reason? To impress upon the people the restoration of prophecy of Hashem to his people and the godly power of the prophet's words. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, places Chagai in historical context. In Pasuk Aleph, it tells us that we are B'chodesh HaShishi B'yom Echad. We are in the sixth month, the first day, which is Rosh Chodesh Elul. It is Shnat Shenit LeDaryavesh. It is the second year to the Persian king Daryavesh. And Chagai is speaking to Zerubbabel and Yehoshua, the two leaders we mentioned who led them in Shivat Zion. Pasuk Bet is very important. Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakot Lemor, Ha'am Hazeh Amru, Lo Eit Bo Eit Beit Hashem Lehibanot. So says Hashem, the nation is saying, it is not the time. The time has not come to build. Build? Build what? Obviously, to build the Beit HaMikdash, to rebuild the second temple. Hashem admonishes Bnei Yisrael, the Jews, for saying these words, for saying it is not time to build. This claim is astounding. Wouldn't we have thought that the Jews would be beyond enthusiastic to rebuild the temple now that they are back in their homeland? Should they not be jumping for joy? Why the delay? And the admonition continues in Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Ha'et lachem atem lashevet bevatechem svunim, v'habayit hazeh harev, Is it a time for you to now sit in your homes that are paneled and this house is desolate? There is a definite negative distinction being made between the attention paid by the Jewish people to their own personal comforts in their home and the lack of attention paid to the house of Hashem, which is unbuilt and desolate. Pay attention. Realize, Haggai says, that your economy is failing, your fields yield little crop, not because of happenstance, but because you are not building the temple. The emphasis on the word bayit, house, be it that of Hashem or that of the people, continues in Psukim Chet and Tet. In verse 8, the Pasuk says, Alu hahar, vahavetem eitz, uvenu habayit, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. Whose house? The house of Hashem. The Pasuk Tet, Pano el harbei, vihine limat, you expect to bring a large harvest. Vihine limat, but you only have a small harvest. Vahavetem habayit, and you bring it to your house. Venafachti bo, and I will blow it away, so says Hashem. Ya'an manu Hashem, and why is this, so says Hashem? Ya'an beiti asher hu chare, because my house is desolate. Ve'atem ratzim ish leveito, and you are running each man to his house. Haggai is direct in his demand. A, build the house, the second temple. Get wood at the nearest mountain. Do what's necessary now. B, if not, all your hard work in the fields, and remember, they were based on an agricultural society, all your hard work will amount to nothing. What's going on? Why does Haggai need to struggle to get Bnei Yisrael to do what would seem so natural for them to do? In order to understand the answers to this question, we have to focus on three key words in Pasuk Zion. In the seventh verse, the Navi says, Alu hahar, go up to the mountain, havetem eitz, bring wood, uvnu habayit, and build the house. And here are the three key words. Ve'ertsevo ve'ekabda, and I will want it, and I will find honor in it. The presence of the last three words shows us something incredibly important, that the Jews needed encouragement, that Hashem would be honored to dwell in this new house they would build, that Bayit Sheni, the second temple, would, after all is said and done, be pleasing to him. Why would Bnei Yisrael have doubted Hashem's finding the second Bayit pleasing? For this, we need some background. The Jews returned to Eretz Yisrael under the auspices of the Persians. They needed permission to rebuild the temple. This is much different than at the times of Shlomo HaMelech when he built the first temple. In a totally independent and Jewish country that was autocratic. Number two, there were very few people who came up to Eretz Yisrael after the 70 years in exile with the return to Zion. The Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, condemns them for that and opines that had all of Bnei Yisrael returned then, they would have merited miracles like the times of Egypt. When they returned during Shivat Zion, they attempted to begin building and were stopped by their jealous enemies from continuing to build. And this continued for some 16 years. At this point, they were despondent. And after this stoppage, Bnei Yisrael didn't have the funds that they had before to build the second Beit HaMikdash in the grandeur and the majesty of the first Beit HaMikdash of Shlomo. In the first temple, they had gold and cedar from the Lebanon and silver. Now their funds were depleted. And in the Pasuk Ertzebo ve'ekabda, the hay is left off of the word ekabda. I will find honor in the second Beit HaMikdash, even though the hay is missing. The Gemara in Yuma explains that five things were missing in the second Beit HaMikdash. Number one, the Aron, the Ark. It was hidden away at the end of the first temple period so that it would not fall into hands of the enemies, and it was still hidden away during the second temple. Two, the Urim V'Tumim, that what was worn by the high priest did not function in the same way it did during the first temple. Eish, the fire from above that consumed the korban, was not there during the second temple period, and the Jews had to kindle the fire themselves. Four, the Shechina, the presence of God, was not there in the same degree. And five, Ruach HaKodesh, the spirit of Hashem through his great men was taken away. Is it any wonder then that Bnei Yisrael worried about building the second temple? In a foreign land, they were a small number of people with economic hardships who had enemies who did not want to see a Jewish temple built up again. They were people who wanted this second Beit HaMikdash to live up to the glorious expectations of the first temple, but did not have the wherewithal. And so Hashem says, Ertzebo v'ekabda, you do what you have to. Alu hahar, go up to the mountain. Havetem eitz, bring whatever trees they may be. Uvanu, buy it and build the Beit HaMikdash. And I, Hashem says, will do my part. Ertzebo v'ekabda. I will find honor in it. Hashem only demands from us that which we are able to do as individuals, as in a community. He realizes that we are human beings with limitations. As long as we try our best and live up to our potential as best as we can, then Hashem will say, Ertzebo v'ikabda. Did these words work? At the end of the parak, Chagai adds two more essential words of encouragement. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, the 13th verse, he says, Vayomer Chagai malach Hashem b'malachut Hashem la'am le'mor ani itchem. Chagai, the shaliach of Hashem, the messenger of Hashem, says to the nation, in the name of God, I am with you. Hashem is with us in good times, as he has in hard times. And in Pasuk Yodalad, the 14th verse, Vayar Hashem et Ruach Zerubbabel. Hashem awakened and kindled the spirit of the leaders, Zerubbabel and Yehoshua, Kohen Gadol, the high priest, and the spirits, the low spirits of all the nation. And in the end, Bnei Yisrael responded, and on the 24th of Elul, they began preparations for building the second Beit HaMikdash. Thank you for studying Le'iloi Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.